So in a Peanuts cartoon, Lucy is sitting in her small booth with the sign, psychiatrist, 5 cents. Charlie Brown walks up and asks Lucy, can you cure loneliness? She says, I can cure anything. Charlie Brown says, can you cure deep down bottom of the well black forever loneliness? Lucy responds, all for the same nickel? The personal ads on the internet speak of the hunger people have for relationships. In a section called Women Seeking Men, a young lady writes, Sarasota woman, Catholic, refined, engaged in postgraduate study, desires to meet educated scholar and theocratic spirit with traditional values and reflective attributes. It sounds like the description of a Jesuit priest. In the section called Men Seeking Men, someone wrote, attractive 32-year-old scholar whose passions range from the authors Marcel Proust and Henry James to Frank Sinatra, seeks a relationship with a young man who is not adverse to fun and the gaining of wisdom. I wish him luck, but anyone who includes Frank Sinatra in a list of famous authors is himself in need of wisdom. In a section called Women Seeking Women, this ad appeared. Stimulating PhD seeks an unattached woman capable of warm, loving relationship with an interest in films, food, travel, and skiing. But none of these are essential. She's not going to be choosy. In the section called Men Seeking Women, a poet professor says he is seeking a Margaret Mead type. Now, this suggests a relationship with a short, highly opinionated anthropologist, which is a limited category. He better have a sense of humor. Another man writes, engineer, 45, thin, likable, and intelligent, seeks a slender, sensual woman, IQ greater than weight. For a committed relationship based on love and respect. One night stand, okay, too. So he's willing to compromise. The authors of the personal ads, they're only publicly expressing what lies in the hearts of most of us. I admire their courage in asking directly and openly for what they need. Their words spring from the depth of human feeling, from the fear of isolation, from the need to feel accepted by other human beings. Loneliness begins when others hurt us as we grow up. We learn from painful experiences in our families or in our schoolyards or in our classrooms to protect ourselves by holding back. We learn to lock our most private selves away. Our fear of others emotionally hurting us keeps us from sharing our joys and our pains. We become careful, cautious, wary, and suspicious of others. As a result, at times, many of us experience profound loneliness. In his book, The Art of Loving, Eric Fromm wrote that the biblical story of Adam and Eve eating from the tree of knowledge is a symbolic description of the anxiety that we feel when we realize that each of us is separate, different, and alone. He said, after Adam and Eve had eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, after they had become human by having emancipated themselves from the original animal harmony with nature, after man and woman have become aware of themselves and of each other, they are aware of their separateness and of their difference. But while recognizing their separateness, they remain strangers because they have not yet learned to love each other. The awareness of human separation, wrote Eric Fromm, is the source of anxiety. The deepest need of human beings is our need to overcome our separateness, to leave the prison of our aloneness. Now, I first read those words when I was about 15 years old, and they became central to my own efforts to understand human behavior. The deepest need of human beings is our need to overcome our separateness, to leave the prison of our aloneness. A phrase we commonly hear is, God never gives us more than we can handle. And this implies that each of us, as isolated individuals, have this incredible strength inside us to handle such things as accidents, unemployment, divorce, or illness. I don't believe this. Although we can handle a great deal if we must, there are times when we are given far more than we can handle, and we need the help of others. We are all dependent on one another. When we are faced with illness or accident, the loss of a job or the death of a friend, divorce or the stress of child rearing, it is normal to need other people. Starting in 1952, Steve Steinecke wanted to create a place where liberal religious people could overcome isolation through relationships with other people. Therefore, Steve Steinecke founded this Unitarian community in Sarasota. In the next few years after he founded this church in 1952, the congregation grew quickly. People poured their time and energy into this community. Men and women, new residents of Sarasota, for the most part strangers to each other, served on projects and committees and task forces of this church. In 1962, the congregation raised the money and built this worship space. Actually, Steve Steinecke died in 1957, and in his will, he left the church a considerable amount of money, which the church could only have if they built a sanctuary within 5 years. 5 years later, we built this. People also, in building this space in this community, built personal relationships that helped them overcome the isolation of religious liberals here in Sarasota. In this community, people who were geographically and sometimes emotionally distant from their families of origin established new friendships based on shared experiences and shared needs. Some of those friendships lasted for many years. Today, our church is a network of contacts, of connections, of unions, of associations. Not only Sunday mornings when we gather for common worship, but in the fellowship of the church dinners, in social events, in the friendship of the women's group and the men's groups, in the stimulation of our adult education classes, in the religious education of our children, in our wonderful choir, and in the art displays that change monthly. These and all of our other activities offer a cure for social isolation. Furthermore, our rituals connect us together. When we gather on Sunday, we say words together to light our chalice. We sing Spirit of Life together. We hold hands together at the end of the worship service. When a child is born into our religious community, that child is welcomed not only by the parents, but by the larger religious community of which that child is a part. When we celebrate a loving partnership, the union of two people, the church community offers its support to this new relationship. When we celebrate a life in a memorial service, the ritual helps the members of our community come to grips with their grief and return to living life. The memorial service can enhance the emotional health of those who participate in openly grieving, in recalling, in celebrating the life of the person they love. Today, 65 years after our founding, the Unitarian Universalist Church of Sarasota is a powerful ally in the battle against social isolation. Beyond our local community, we are part of a network of Unitarian Universalist churches across the world. Just as we welcome visitors here who are coming to Sarasota for a short time, when we go outside to other churches around the United States, we are welcomed as visitors in those congregations. I've been active in churches in Phoenix, in Lexington, Kentucky, New Bedford, Massachusetts, Bethesda, Maryland, and from 1985 until 1993, I served as the minister of the Unitarian Church in Evanston, Illinois. 4 years after I left Evanston, Illinois, I left that church to live in Maryland and serve a church in Bethesda. The ministers in Evanston sent me a copy of a letter that they had received. The woman who wrote the letter lives in Rochester, New York. However, because the writer so clearly describes what we hope to create and accomplish here in Sarasota and in Lakewood Ranch, I've asked June Hertenstein, to read this letter for us today. June is active in our Lakewood Ranch congregation, and by asking her to come to Sarasota today, it's a way for me to connect the two groups. At my request, she's agreed to help out this morning by doing this reading. June?
To the Reverend Roger Fritz, our current minister, March 17th, 1997. You don't know me. There is no reason that you should recognize my name. I attended the Unitarian Church of Evanston for several months in 1991. Since then, I have attended the First Unitarian Church in Rochester. I'm now taking part in the annual canvass to seek pledges of support for the church for the coming year. The reason I'm writing is that each year at this time, I'm very strongly reminded of those few months when I attended your church. It's time that I said thank you. 1991 was my last year of graduate school at Northwestern University. As for all students, the stresses of finishing school, looking for a job, and wondering where I would be the next year were great. Unfortunately, it was also the year in which my husband decided he did not want to be part of a family anymore. I gave birth to my second child and had to cope with serious illnesses and hospitalizations of the baby. One of the biggest problems for me to deal with was simply being alone. Although my friends were very, very, very helpful to me at school, and my family helped as much as they could from long distance, I was all alone taking care of two small children a lot. The time alone was especially difficult. I felt isolated and very anxious. The weekends were unbearable. So after several years of not being part of any church, I found my way to your doors, and I was welcomed. I did not discuss my problems too much with anyone at the church or ask for any assistance or counseling from anyone. I also did not make any close or lasting friendships there. As much as I may have thought I would have liked that then, I know now that I could not have handled any more change, good or bad. What I did get was a chance to see other people, to be greeted by friendly faces, smiles, a very small effort on the part of that community, but a huge impact in my ability to handle each weekend and get through that year of my life. In your sermon, you referred to a phrase, "God never gives us more than we can handle," as being incorrect, in that sometimes we are given more than we can handle. For a while, I tried hard to handle all the issues I was facing without burdening my friends and family. It was a struggle to learn to let go and ask others for help. My friends will tell you that I'm still not good at it, but I found that sermon at the right time when I was ready to understand the message. People touch the lives of others in the most profound ways, sometimes just by smiling, saying hello. And we don't take the time to even realize the significance. I sincerely hope that if there has been anybody that has walked into our church here in Rochester looking for a friendly face or more, that they have found it. I thought I should let you know that I did find it in your church. Thank you very much.
That was in Illinois. Today, here in Sarasota, every Sunday we have visitors here for the first time, hoping to see friendly faces. We do our best to maintain this religious community so that, to some significant degree, we reduce the feeling of loneliness in those who seek us out. Here we try to sustain a community where reaching out feels safe, where we affirm each other, where we learn from each other. We've been around in this church for 65 years. And I say thank you this morning to all who made this church what it is today. We have inherited a great heritage. May our church continue to be a community where we will accept each other, where we will laugh at each other's jokes and listen to each other's fears. May we continue to love our energetic children, our dedicated workers, our quiet teenagers, our elderly neighbors, and our shy newcomers. And may all who seek us out find here a place where they feel welcome.